It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
He's bound it down, loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they say can be done?
And welcome to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle, long time Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. The show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, Mobile's oldest GM dealer, Alabama Piping Supply, your CBD store in West Mobile on Hillcrest, and Ed's Seafood Shed.
Fantabulous Seafood Shed.
Yep.
Awesome place of business. They're, you know, they're doing breakfast over there now. I think Nick's going to call us after a while.
Yeah.
They're doing breakfast on Saturday and Sunday mornings.
Mm-hmm. The only place on the causeway.
Breakfast place on the causeway.
Right. Well, you so know if you're doing spending it right. The night in the state.
Yeah. Park, you know what?
Place next, close by to eat.
Charlie, next time I go over there, I'm going to give you some of that fried bologna.
It's kind of hard to go wrong
goes,
with that.
Yeah, that goes way back, man. That goes back to earlier days. Yeah. Fried bologna with my eggs.
That's right. I like fried Spam, too.
Uh-oh, now. I didn't go to that school.
No. It ain't the old Spam that you might be more familiar with.
Oh, okay. It's the new Spam and Ham?
Yeah, which is mostly ham.
Yep. There you go. Okay. Yep. Well, we hope it is anyway.
Yeah.
Well, I know everybody missed us last week, but I was on vacation and I enjoyed it. You know, I'm not going to apologize because I definitely needed my time off.
You needed your vacation, didn't you, brother?
Yeah.
And I need to apologize to you guys because 5 minutes before showtime, I had forgotten we were going to do a repeat.
Yeah, I kind of got that based on your
panic in my text.
Panic from the text. Yeah.
Multiple texts, multiple messages.
Charlie called me. He says, Tom, y'all coming in? I said, no, not tonight. What? I said, don't you remember we were going to do the repeat? Okay.
I had put the show in the computer, but I hadn't put it in the on-air part of the computer.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Old-timers is hell in it, Charlie.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I have my moments. It's just that I hate when these moments get strung together.
Oh, when they start doubling up?
Yep.
I have that problem, too.
Or when a moment lasts 10 minutes instead of 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm. I have trouble trying to get the right hard drive into my computer.
Yeah, I'm still over here trying to get our text message board up and working. But
now you're the mechanical genius. You're supposed to be able to figure all that crap
out. They have changed things here and failed to mention it to somebody.
Well, the software changed or got updated, and now it doesn't work like it's
supposed to. Now the whole damn thing don't work.
Yeah. You know, if something works, don't fix it.
I mean, this would be that'd be
broke,
a good thing to.
It,
that's right.
Yeah, it'd be a good thing to tell somebody how it works if they expect us to use it. But that's okay. We'll figure it out.
Well, I'm sure there's some fine people out there that's got problems with their cars and have things to talk about.
Hey, if all else fails, pick up the phone and call us.
There you go.
Yep. The phone does work. So
the phone does work?
Yeah, the phone
does
work.
Oh, our phone does work.
Yeah, don't be nervous. If we can do it, anybody can.
There you go.
So I assume everybody stayed high and dry last week when the monsoon season come through. They were for about an hour or two.
Man, don't you know, I like to crack up. I was watching TV, and they took a picture over on Dolphin Street, and a car was floating down the street, and they were taking it on the phone, I guess, because the woman was going, oh, my God, it hit a car. It bounced off of that car. Oh, it's bouncing off another car.
My favorite was the Mobile City bus, the Wave bus.
Oh, the Wave bus.
Creating waves.
Making waves.
I think it was down on Ann Street or somewhere, but, I mean, they were pushing a wall of water ahead
of them. Yes, sir.
The engines are in the back. And
they're in the back, so they're okay.
Yeah,
but otherwise, there'd have been a bunch of wet hen passengers on that bus if they'd have had to got out and walk.
No doubt. You know, it's and we've got several flooded vehicles at the shop.
Yeah, I was wondering. That was going to be my next question. Yeah. How many of those flood vehicles do you guys get out at the big UJ?
Probably between flood and lightning, we've probably got four or five or six.
Wait a minute. Lightning. Yeah.
We had several hit by lightning as well. So
our Mobile area?
Yeah.
Dang. So, okay.
And lightning's no joke when you get into these new cars with all the modules involved.
Yeah. Have you had the occasion to work on those so far and see kind of where they're at?
Well, I have not gotten the ones that just came in, but I've only been about 2 weeks ago finished one that was somewhere around a $13,000 bill for a lightning strike vehicle.
Thank God for insurance.
Yeah, you know, I don't know how people do it otherwise. You know
what was weird about that rain? if I understood it correctly, it stopped about halfway across the bayway. Baldwin County didn't
did.
Get that flooding.
Yeah.
Rain.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I was coming back from over there. At been to a funeral, and went to my nephew's house and had a little bit of a bite to eat. And was coming. I was coming back across the causeway, and I got about a third into the bayway, actually, not the causeway.
Yeah.
And boom, into a wall of water. Then it was like 20, 25 miles an hour.
I think that had to be the outer fringes of that tropical system that went into Texas.
Well, it was, but you know, the real bad part in the Mobile area was over around the Dolphin and I-65 corridor over there, and over at Spring Hill Hospital and the Spring Hill business doctor's offices and all over there. Because I had a little lady that was over there, and she'd been to see one of the doctors. She comes back out, and there's water all around her car. She said she opened the door. Water didn't come in then, but she looked down in her floorboard, and she already had like 2 inches of water in the bottom of her floorboard. You know,
right. Right.
So, and she called me and asked me about it, and I told her, well, to find the highest spot in around there that she could see grass or asphalt and try to get her car to it if she wasn't blocked in.
Right.
And sit there for a while and wait and let's see what's going on. But then they got a shot of a picture of the service road there right outside of that the Baptist church.
Right.
And there's a couple of cars that floated off the service road into the ditch, and they were nose down in
the ditch.
You know what I told her, don't you move. Just stay there for a while.
Right. And my wife got lucky because she works, part of the time at the Walmart right there across from.
They're on the service
way.
Road there.
And the other store that she works is on Bel Air Boulevard, and that was one of the other places that was underwater.
Yes.
Sometimes you can't win for losing.
And it was luckily she got in, did her thing, got out before.
Yeah.
Yeah, the rain got there, so she got really lucky there.
Well, let's see. We only have about 3 minutes left here. Let's talk a little bit about our new sponsor, your CBD store in West Mobile, which is actually located on 1218 Hillcrest Road, Suite F. It's right across the street from the Waffle House. Yeah, I think it's the Waffle House on Hillcrest there at Greelot. But it's an awesome facility. The gentleman that owns it is Joe Brown, and he has a great lady there working there with him. But now they have the full line of SunMed products. These are awesome products. They actually have a in-house PhD scientist on board, and he tracks every step of the production of all these products. And they have a wide selection of them, the oil tinctures, the water solubles, gummies, soft gel capsules, e-liquids for vaping, the topical creams, pet products, and more. Did you know that they make CBD oil for pets?
Oh, yeah.
I've
heard it works wonders.
I got a 15-year-old little lab, and she had so much trouble walking around, and when she gets up after laying down, she can't hardly walk. But I've started giving her the CBD oil. She acts like a new dog, man. She probably won't ever die.
That's right.
But Joe Brown and his people out there do a fine job. We appreciate them coming on board here with us on the Car Doctor Show. But your CBD store, West Mobile, on Hillcrest at Greelot. Awesome group.
Absolutely. You know, it's, with the weather we've had here lately, I know if you're out there looking for a car, be careful. Because there's a bunch of them out there.
It's got a lot of water damage. Yeah,
they've got some water damage.
One thing that a person could look for to determine if a car might have been water damaged, and even though it's illegal to sell them, we know that sometimes they slip through the cracks.
Well, the very first thing you need to do is when you walk up to a car and you open, well, before you even open the door, look at the windows.
Okay.
Are they fogged from the inside? Yeah. If they're fogged from the inside, more than likely there's water inside that car somewhere.
That's an indication that there's water in
the car. Yeah, we're talking used cars.
Right,
right. And, if you open the door and you climb in and immediately you get a little bit of a musty smell, be careful. Now, you can get that same situation from just having a car detailed.
Right.
And maybe they didn't let the carpet dry enough before they closed the door.
So,
it can happen, and it may not have been a flood vehicle, but that's your first indication to go look.
That's a sign to make sure that what you're getting is not a flood vehicle, though. But if you get that, even though it comes from the detailing.
Right.
Okay. But question it anyway.
Right. Exactly. So, Yeah, but we're going to have to take a break and let you hear from our fine sponsors, and we will be back after these messages.
And it sounds like the music didn't come back because maybe we didn't turn something back on.
If we had a good engineer that could run this damn show.
You think?
Yeah.
Remember when we're going to be here, not be here, and all that neat stuff?
Yeah, if we find out, why find us a good one, we're going to see what we can bring in.
Let me check my union contract.
Oh, yeah.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Clexton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, you heard the story of the hot rod race that fatal day when the Ford and the Mercury went out.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is The Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Clexton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106.
The text machine is working?
Yeah, well, I hope it is anyway. Somebody okay. Send me one, we'll find out. So,
yeah.
We were talking a little bit about some of the flooded cars and some of the lightning strike vehicles and that, you know.
But let me ask you a question about, do you have any real knowledge about where the vehicles were at when they lightning and struck those cars?
No, I don't, you know. And a lot of times they're not struck, not a direct lightning strike. You know, all they really have to do
it's
is be
like
close. You know, it doesn't actually have to hit the vehicle, but I mean, it's enough of a power surge around the car to do some okay. damage sometimes. The one that I did that was a pretty big repair here a few weeks ago, it was a direct strike. I could see where it come in, went out.
Okay. You saw an interesting exit on it.
Yeah, you could see the marks on the drive shaft and the wheels.
Really?
Where it come?
Where did it
come?
Where do you think it?
I don't know where it come in, okay. but I know it come out drive shaft and wheels.
Oh my goodness!
So
that's the lowest point of the metal.
Yeah, because I could see a burn mark on the drive shaft, which is just a little scorched looking mark.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, you know, best I could tell, it arced down to a cross member. Yeah.
Okay.
And then from there, it went wheels, you know,
okay.
and to the ground.
Went out to like the A-frame, lower A-frames or whatever.
Well, it actually went through the one that I saw, the biggest mark was on one of the rear tires. So it went out, and it may have been because it went to the drive shaft and went down that way.
So it goes to the axle, to the wheel, and then it'll jump from the wheel to the ground?
Yeah.
It didn't blow the tires?
No, it didn't hurt the tires
on
this
one.
Yeah, I have seen it blow tires out.
Yeah, I've seen it too.
Yeah.
You know, that's the reason I was asking about it.
Yeah. And usually it's an older tire, the newer tires that have a good bit of rubber and no dry crack, you know, dry rot and that on.
Okay.
They're fairly well insulated, so... but if you got one that's got maybe a steel belt showing or something, it gives it a contact patch.
The steel belted radials.
Yep.
And they could carry that arc.
Oh yeah, yeah. So it'll find a way.
The ones that I've seen in the past were big rubber tires for like on a truck.
Yeah.
On the trucks, like you take a bucket truck where you've got the boom and all on it, and the boom would be, you know, naturally up higher than the cab at all. It would normally hit that bucket or somewhere that the post on it where the hydraulic system's at.
Right.
And then go from there, it would come down and go through the truck, through the electrical system, and then come down and jump from the tire, or actually the rim at the top of the tire to the ground.
Right.
So that's
right.
Some of the ones that I checked over back years ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I was actually surprised that, it hit a bunch of the modules in there, and there was quite a few modules that were burnt up. But,
ooh,
you know, what surprised me—
It didn't burn all of them?
It did not get all of them.
Really?
Like the radio and some of those components, instrument cluster, you know, there was a lot of that stuff that survived, and it was no problem. You know, AC control heads and modules and that, you know, they were all fine.
No kidding. You would think that they would be online or in a stream with an electrical lines from all. You would think it'd take out the whole system.
Yeah, it'd just kill everything. But it got through a bunch of them, but it didn't. It didn't hit all of them. I was a little surprised, you know.
Well, you told me it was $13,000. You mentioned that a while ago. Mm-hmm. Do you have a ballpark figure on what you think it would have cost if it had hit those other modules?
If it had got the rest of them, you could have easily pushed $20,000.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah,
would they have totaled the car for that money?
That would have been pushing the limit on it.
That would have been pushing it.
Yeah,
because
it, I think it's, what, 70%?
70%, I think it is, yeah.
And,
it comes the time to trade.
Well, you know, and it could be. But, you know, and the key thing with a lightning strike vehicle is you have to be extremely thorough in how you check it when you're done. You have to operate every piece and make sure everything works. Make sure the nice thing with the way the cars are now, everything will set a code. So you can go in and check codes in all the modules and all the systems. So if you have something that's not working, it'll set it. That's not to say that something can't pop up later, you know, because I'm sure you might could have weakened some systems.
I'm sitting here, my mind's going crazy. I was thinking about, you were talking about reloading those modules. Now I have seen you and some of your guys over at the BMW place when you were there, when you were having to reload a vehicle that the wiring harness may have been replaced in, and or all of the modules been replaced, and you were having to actually start at the bottom portion of it, the last thing you go to that first to reload.
Yeah, and sometimes and you know, the GMs are a little different. With a BMW, you kind of go in and you tell it to update, and it updates the whole car at one time. You know, where ours, I have to go into each individual module and update.
Okay.
So the systems are a little different. It's kind of like if you have
It's called $20,000 less money for the vehicle.
Yeah. Well, you know, and kind of the downside of that is, you know, if there's anything wrong on that system, say if an AC actuator or a, something else is bad, but it's functioning at this point, if you go in and you program that AC control, you know, it's liable to quit because it's going to make it go through a self-test.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, on ours, if I have to put an ECM in it, I don't have to program that AC. I can leave it alone.
Right.
Yeah. On a BMW, you can't.
Okay.
So it's going to find a problem if there's one there. So, yeah, there's pluses and minuses for everything.
Okay. All right, let's catch our caller.
We do have someone online. Caller, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Hey, what can we do for you?
I'm looking for Tom Claxton.
Oh, he run away.
He did?
Yeah. Is this the fabulous Nick DiMario from the great corporation of Panini Pete and Nick?
Yes. Is this Tom Claxton?
What you got of him, baby? Come on. Look, tell me about this big deal now. You guys got breakfast going on out there on Saturday and Sunday mornings. Only breakfast on the causeway.
Rise and shine. Rise and shine breakfast. Hey. 8 to 11, man. Cornmeal pancake, just Hall's sausage, Hall's bacon, redneck omelet with grilled bologna and pimento cheese grits. Just a really, really cool down and dirty southern breakfast. Little tomato broth gravy.
Okay, y'all open now. I got hungry.
It's good stuff.
Yep. But, man, I tell you, you've got some other things going on over there. Give us a little bit of insight on that.
We got Bikes on the Bay coming in October. We got that going on, and a ton of stuff, man. We're even doing order your gumbo for tailgates. Call ahead, and we'll have a gallon of gumbo, gallon of slaw. Just more than just chicken wings for a football game. Gumbo, international food of love.
Yes,
especially for football games, and we got it at Ed's for sure.
So you could call in before the game, or do you need to know that morning or the afternoon before?
You call in about an hour before, or you call the day before, and we'll get you a gallon of gumbo ready to go with your rice and your shrimp. And I even like to chase them with some hush puppies and slaw.
Oh, yeah. Yep. So all of that's available.
Absolutely. And, we got a new menu coming out. We're going to be rolling out some kind of our version of Nashville hot chicken, but I'm going to call it hot and hot fish.
Okay.
A little bit of fresh catfish with a little hot sauce on top, but just kind of drop down in there and over top of slaw and greens. Oh my God, it's so good.
Again, can I get that tonight? What time y'all close?
Probably about 30 minutes.
I can't make it that morning.
Yeah,
I'll try
tonight.
To make it tomorrow, though.
We try to put real food in our foods. You know, Gulf Coast
I noticed that.
Solid Ed.
Yeah.
It's been a fun time getting to know everybody over there, and the great business people and people like y'all, and we enjoy doing what we do.
Hey man, let me ask you this. What's the deal y'all got going on with the USS Cincinnati?
Oh, Thursday. We are going to feed, actually, the commander and the assistant commander eating in Sunset Point, which is part of our Double P Hospitality group. You know, we've got Squid Ink, and we've got Panini Pete's, and we've got Ed's on the Causeway. And so on Thursday, we're going to go feed 100 of the folks on the ship, and we're going to feed them gumbo. We're going to feed them po' boys.
Oh, goodness.
And we're going to do that on the ship and let them get a good taste of what Ed Seafood's about.
There you go, man. Get some of that southern cooking before they go to sea.
Oh, yeah. I just saw the guys walking out of the restaurant. I fed them so much they looked like they were limping.
We're going to have to get an elevator over there now, Nick. You know, for soul folks.
Oh,
that's coming.
That's coming. Right now, I'm the elevator.
Oh, you the elevator. Yeah, I noticed you getting there in big shape. Y'all going to have wrestling over there, too, or what?
What's that?
You going to have wrestling over the Ed's on the back porch?
Hey, man, we can do it. We got Lex and Terry coming. October, they might be wrestling.
Yeah, knowing that group, they probably will. Nick, it's just a real pleasure to have you on tonight. We appreciate you guys working with us here on the Car Doctor Show, and you have a great venue
you
going
too,
on at Ed's, and also
thank you. Look forward to seeing you.
All right, brother, take care of the people at Squid Ink on the square.
Oh yeah, man.
All right.
Good night. Bye bye.
All right, Nick, take care. Nick DeMario, the operator of Panini Pete's and all those fine facilities out there, does an awesome job.
Yep. Cooking good food and taking care of people.
Putting food in their food, man.
Yep. Putting food in there. It's a novel idea.
So, <That's great>.
Yeah.
It's the Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The Doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call, 343-0106. Or you can send us a text, that same number. And if you have sent us a text, I haven't gotten it. So,
text machine is requiring an engineer to operate.
Yeah, apparently so. We're going to keep Charlie happy tonight. He's got something he wants to read to us.
Well, not only that, but I wanted to bring up gasoline, period, because a week or so ago we pulled into the Shell station on Highway 90 just west of I-10. I still think it's south of I-10, but it says west, so I'll go with that. And all of a sudden, there were two hoses, like most gas pumps, and I knew one of them was diesel. It had a different color, plus it said diesel.
Great.
On the right-hand side, there were three buttons, you know, for the regular gasoline that contains ethanol. It was, 87, 89, and 93 or something like that. But then over on the left side, by the diesel button, there was one for 87 without ethanol.
Right.
And, Tom, I think you said that the problem with ethanol-free gasoline, one problem is it costs more money.
Yeah, you're looking at 30 to 40 cents more per gallon. But there's a lot of items, and Kevin could bring us up to date on that, that we recommend that you use that particular type of gas when they don't have ethanol in it. And he could give you those items and why.
Yeah. Well, there's a few things. And if we're talking about vehicles, if you have a older vehicle, mostly carbureted cars that are not tuned for the ethanol-based, ethanol fuel like the E15, E10.
Like one of those classic cars or antique cars?
Right, like a lot of antique cars. you know, the thing is they were tuned and jetted for a straight gasoline setup. When you are running ethanol in there, it actually takes a little more to make the fuel mixture correct. So it's usually not a big deal. It usually will run fine. But, you know, if it was already on the verge of being lean, running on 100% gasoline, then if you put a 10% ethanol mixed in it, it's going to be just a little too lean.
It's going to be too lean. Yeah.
All right. Would it have hurt it if I had put that in my car, the 2017 car?
No.
Most of the new cars
can actually decipher how much ethanol is in the fuel. It has an algorithm or a sensor that will sense how much the ethanol is in the tank. And it will adjust correct for it.
What's what all the super sophisticated computers that we have on there are designed to do?
Right.
To read whatever kind of fuel we got. Because, you know, there's another area, too, where we go to the different climates or we go to different altitudes in the United States. And when you go to a different altitude, then it takes different kinds of fuel. And in some places, I actually have different kinds of fuel there that they are selling. So with our computer sophistication that we have, it compensates for all that.
Yeah, right. Tom, in the early 90s, we went to Colorado, and the gas pump said contains lead.
Right.
Because of the altitude.
Right. You won't find that anymore.
I understand that. So it wouldn't have hurt if I wanted to spend the extra 30, 40 cents a gallon. I could have put that in my car.
Right. And your fuel mileage actually would have increased just a little bit. I don't know if it's enough to justify the money.
Yeah, it wouldn't compensate for them.
But it would go up just a little bit.
Where did we use this ethanol-free gasoline then?
Well, the ethanol-free stuff is, you know, a lot of people consider marine fuel.
Right.
It's there for boats, for your small lawn equipment, weed eaters, lawnmowers,
generators,
that kind of stuff that you don't leave. I mean, you don't run on a consistent basis. Of course, this time of year, you got to have your lawnmower out every week. But, you're coming to a point to where you're going to put it up and it's going to sit there for 6-8 months, or in Charlie's case, a year and a half, and you're not going to get it back out and try and crank it up.
Right.
You know, and nobody drains it or puts anything in it. I'm not going to say it, anybody. I'm guilty. I don't put anything in mine. But there are people that take a little better care of their stuff than I do. But
How to fix it, so you don't care.
I can clean it out.
You know, if it's broke, you fix it.
That's right. Exactly.
Go ahead, Tom.
Go ahead. But here's the important part of that, Kevin, and you need to bring it forth to all of our listening audience out there, is what that 10% ethanol, which is alcohol, does in all of these small engines to the aluminum components and a lot of the rubber seals and gaskets that are in there.
Right. If it's not designed for it, it's one of the main things it does is it attracts moisture, and it will actually pull moisture in there and give you an issue with corrosion and that in your carburetors and the fuel systems.
That's why it's important,
guys. You know, so it's important to, keep, non-ethanol fuel in your small engines like that.
Yeah.
They're just not designed to run the ethanol gasoline. I'll admit I run it in mine. But I run mine all the time.
Right.
You know,
so I go and crack mine often as I can, and I think about it just to run it to let it run through there and all. Mm-hmm. But here's what I found over on the repair side, and talking to some of the small engine shops, when if a lawnmower comes in there, or let's say a pressure washer that comes in with gas one, and you're having trouble getting it cranked and all, they won't even look hardly at a carburetor except to get the number off of it to buy a carburetor.
Right. You know, nobody fixes them anymore.
They won't fix them because, you get to the internal components and all. A lot of times you have trouble with the gaskets if you go to get a carburetor, a little kit. Like, we used to build carburetors all the time, man. And you build a zillion of them.
Yeah.
You know, and I sold a zillion of the kits. Mm-hmm. But some of this stuff, a lot of this stuff is import. And it's, you know, it's built overseas, and there's little rinky-dink gaskets and stuff in there, and they don't come with the right stuff. So rather than doing that, the carburetors are too cheap to just, right, you know, worry about rebuilding one. They can buy a new and put it on there, and then you're good for a couple of years before it's going to go bad again.
Right. Right.
So, but it will eat the guts out of it, and it'll turn the inside of that aluminum white, and that's oxidation from the alcohol.
Yep. Wow.
You know, if you can build it yourself, it's worthwhile to build it. But if you can't, and all you can do is swap it, or you have to take it to somebody, you know, just replace them.
Right.
You know, the carburetors are cheap enough to, you know, to just move on.
Yeah. One other station that I saw this 5-pump arrangement was, I think it's Murphy Oil Express. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of them springing up around town. One in Tillman's Corner had the gas without ethanol in it.
Yeah.
But I brought all that up because I wanted to talk about something that I came across on the internet. And actually, I had heard some of this stuff a long time ago. On a early morning talk show on a radio station in St. Thomas as we were coming in on a cruise ship. But it's helpful. And so here's some things, and I'm just going to read this. Regardless of the make and model, your vehicle's estimated gas mileage is just that, an estimate. How you drive, how you fuel it, how you maintain your car are important variables when it comes to getting the most of what you put into your tank. And then we got some tips, and I'd like to get you guys share some reaction maybe. Number one says, if you're going to fill up your tank, do it first thing in the morning. And we're talking about ways that you can just get a little more gasoline for your dollar. All service stations store their gas in underground tanks. And, Tom, you were telling me before we went on the air that they're now no longer steel tanks. But
right.
But something else.
They're a fiberglass tank.
And with all matter, gasoline expands when it's warmed and becomes denser when it's cool. Therefore, if you buy gas in the afternoon or evening after the sun has warmed the ground, you get less gas in your gallon than if you had refueled that morning when the ground temperature was still low. Let me jump in here.
In the old days, we had a lot of places where they had above-ground tanks.
Right.
And they were steel.
Yeah.
Now, the steel would absorb the heat, and then it could cause it to expand. But our gas tanks, especially in America, are all underground, and they're fiberglass tanks, and they're at least probably 8 or 10 feet below the surface of the ground. I believe that's about correct. You on board
with
that?
Yeah, I think so.
Six to eight feet or so.
Sure.
So they're not, you know, in reality, we're not going to have that problem, Charlie.
Okay, so it's not going to be that much of a difference if it is a difference. Now, Philip, slowly, I think there may be something to this. While getting gas probably isn't your favorite activity, trying to speed it up could actually reduce your gas efficiency. Applying pressure to the gasoline nozzle to fill your tank as quick as possible turns some of the gas into vapor, and all pump hoses are equipped with a vapor return that sucks vapor back into the holding tank, which means you're charged for the gas that comes out. Some of it vaporizes and never gets into your car, meaning you get less gas than what you paid for it.
I'm not on that page. Do you have any newer education or schools or classes, anything over the last 10 years?
No, not necessarily on this, but I do know that they do have vapor return systems on the pumps now.
Yeah, you can hear a sucking sound sometimes.
Yeah.
Have to, because you don't want it exposed around there, because if somebody's smoking a cigarette or lights a darn cigarette, you're going to blow the place up.
Basically, they're saying pump it more slowly. Don't squeeze it all the way and put that lock on.
I can't see where you'd lose a fifth of a gallon, much less a tenth of a gallon.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And, you know, that's another one of the areas I personally wouldn't worry about.
Yeah, you know.
Well, what are we talking about, a nickel a gallon maybe?
I wouldn't even go there.
No, it probably wouldn't be that much.
I wouldn't even go there.
You know?
I think it is so minute, I don't think we should worry about it.
All right.
Not this day and time.
Well, mm-hmm. Since we're coming up on a break, assuming the orchestra or the country pickers are ready,
mm-hmm.
We'll come up to the next one, and that has to do with something that you've talked about a lot, Tom and Kevin, and that is keeping your tires inflated and why that's important to your gas mileage.
Well, that'll help with your gas mileage.
Yeah, that's definitely a huge huge factor in your gas mileage.
All right, how much time we got, Charlie? Are we going to three yet or not?
No, we're coming up on about 10 seconds. I got to talking, and I didn't give you time.
No, that's okay. Well, you're excused. You can leave now.
You ought to be used to it by now anyhow.
No, that's all.
Don't worry about it. We'll get that subject when we get back.
Yep.
Hey, they're there.
Pick it.
We'll be back.
Almost heaven, West Virginia. Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life is old there, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, growing like a breeze. Country roads, take me home to the place.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is The Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call, 343-0106.
And we certainly want to bring you back to your attention again about your CBD store. It's in West Mobile, Alabama. It's located over on 1218 Hillcrest Road, Suite F. It's there on Hillcrest, right at the Green Lot intersection across from the Waffle House. And it's an awesome facility. It's an independently owned, but they have somewhere around 400 or 500 stores.
Yeah.
Throughout the Southeast and all. So this is a big organization, you know. So
right.
They are very particular about the products they have and that they meet the proper standards and that they have, less than 0.03% of THC in it so that
All legal.
Well, it's all legal. So they have a PhD scientist on staff, mm-hmm. and they do an unbelievable job. I'll give you another one. We've heard a lot about gummies. Well, they have gummies, CBD gummies. I've had the occasion to where my sister had a hip replacement, and they had a lot of pain from that because it stirred up some old arthritis in the knee and the hip. And the only way that they could treat it was some real strong opioids, and that's what caused her to mess her darn hip up to start with. So the CBD gummies really helped that. And they also have a little salve that you can impress on. This stuff works immediately, and it's just unbelievable, the results of it. So if you got some inflammation and pain, I'm actually going to get Kevin some here to use on his knee. Big boy's been walking around on that concrete for so long.
I'm hobbled half the time.
So yeah, right. So we're going to get him some of that and let him try it, and then we can get a first-hand report from him on that. But this is Health Without the High. Your CBD store at 1218 Hillcrest Road, Suite F. Joe Brown is the gentleman out there. If he's in the store, ask him to explain the products to you, and he will give it straight from the horse's mouth there. So on Hillcrest Road across from the Waffle House at Green Lot.
Yep. Looks like we got a caller online. Caller, you with us?
Yes, sir.
Yes. What can we do for you?
I wanted to ask about I had a battery problem about a month ago. You know, did what I usually do, clean the cables, and it worked fine. Then the first of the month, I tried to do it again. It wouldn't work. I put a little Sears charger on it and charged it overnight. It wouldn't work. I got a ride to the store, and it was an old battery. And they said it didn't look no good, and I replaced the battery. And when I done that, the engine turns over good and strong, even though it was a cheap battery, but it won't fire off.
Yeah. What kind of car do you have?
It's a 2000 Chevrolet Cavalier.
Yeah. You know, it's hard to say. You know, there's obviously something else is wrong. You know, you've got to, if you got the car spinning over, it should fire. You know, if you, you know, just key on, do you hear like the fuel pump come on in the back of the car or any of that?
Yes, sir. It sounded okay. I was just wondering if I might have burnt the fuel pump up or something charging the battery in the car.
No, it shouldn't hurt the fuel pump. You know, it really shouldn't hurt the car by putting a battery charger on it. It's really not much different than running the car and the alternator doing it, as long as you hook the cables up properly. Yep. You know, and just make sure that, you know, there shouldn't be any extra cables or connections or wires there that maybe you left loose, but, you know, it never hurts to look and see, you know, and check and make sure your check engine light comes on when you turn the key on. If it's not, then, you know, you need to start checking powers and grounds and all that to the modules and see why that's not coming on. But, you know, just have to kind of start at the bottom, work your way up on that, you know.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
All right. I appreciate you calling in. But, you know, it's you can do damage if you hook arc a cable or, right. or you hook it up right. backwards or hook the charger up, and even just arcing the cable, you know, as you're putting it back on sometimes can do some damage. Usually not, but
if you did arc it like that, Kevin, and accidentally, naturally, mm-hmm. What would you look for? I mean, would you look for a power fuse or something like that
first? It usually doesn't damage the fuse. It usually gets the modules.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. Yeah.
So that's where you have to go there. But, you know, we're, you know, want to touch base on one UJ here, UJ Chevrolet, my employers and our sponsors for this show, Mobile's oldest GM dealer.
Awesome, you
know,
dealership.
I know everybody's been hearing about the GM strike and walkout and all that. Want to, you know, rest assured we do have a large inventory of vehicles at this point. So, you know, our selections are good. I'm sure somewhere down the road it may affect our inventory some, but depending on how long this thing drags out. But,
right.
You know, GM, luckily, they have they anticipated this happening. They stockpiled some vehicles ahead
of
time.
Funny how bosses do that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. They see things coming. So, you know, it's they saw it coming. They stockpiled some vehicles.
They've probably been doing that for months.
And
not only the vehicles but the parts
and this is affecting a little bit of our parts flow, but they're still coming in. We're not you know, not getting any parts. You know, we're if it's something that's got the cars down, you know, they're able to get it to us.
Got all the other inventories on all the other dealerships and the distribution centers and the warehouses to pull out of
right.
I mean, you could feasibly go 6-8 months before you would get in, you know, in a desperate area there.
Yeah, I mean, there's things that we're going to have trouble getting, but most of what we're going to have trouble getting is maybe a trim piece or something.
Okay. All right.
You know, like that. But if it's something that's really detrimental to the operation of a vehicle, they're going to find a way to get it to
us. There you go.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's just one of those things that that we'll have to work through. But, you know, we're in it for the long haul, and UJ's been there for many, many years, since 1940. So, yeah, they know how to weather these. And
I believe I'm only a couple of years older than that.
I don't even want to go there, Tom.
Charlie, you don't want to go there?
No.
Oh, man.
Hey, Kevin, I got two questions real quick. You're the shop foreman at UJ Chevrolet.
Correct.
And so you're the guy that we call when we need to make an appointment to have some repair work done?
No, don't call me. Not if you want to get an appointment.
Oh, okay.
But you need to call one of our service advisors. And you call our front door number and tell them that you need to make an appointment for car repairs, and they will send you to our service department. And
I hate to ask you unprepared, but what's the phone number?
You asking me a number that I never call.
That's what I was going to say. It's like, don't ask me my home number.
I'm already there, so why would I want to call?
Yeah,
so
why would you want to call the number? Yeah.
It's a 633 number, and I'm trying to remember all of them.
Google
but either
it.
Way, it's you can look it up.
And you're on Airport Boulevard, right?
It's Airport Boulevard, right there near Cylinders. We have a very, very good inventory, family-owned store, been around a long time, great people to be to do business with and to work for. Very proud to work there. So, you know, come out and see us. Got a great group of guys that we work with, and, you know, got some good-looking vehicles out there right now for sure.
How about 633-3321?
Yeah, I was trying to get there.
About right.
633-3321, the Top Cat has found the number.
He looked it up on the internet.
Yeah,
looking.
What the internet be for, man?
All of y'all just call Tom and ask him what
right,
the number
yeah,
is.
Yeah, if right. it's on the internet, I can give you an answer.
It's Mr. Google. And,
that's right.
But you know, the internet is always true. Everything on the internet is true. It's
true,
baby.
And I'll tell you another truth. We're out of time.
All right. Don't forget your new CBD store over on Hillcrest, West Mobile. Mama says daddy sent you all of his love from Bristol Bay. I didn't understand till I was grown why my daddy didn't spend a little time at home. I said he'd run around the country that away. Whoa, I'm looking at the world through a windshield.